This evening I'd like to invite you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 2 through 12. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 2 through 12. Grace and peace be multiplied to you and in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge self-control, self-control to perseverance, perseverance to godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. That's pretty familiar to all of us. But I wanted to read it by way of introduction because I want to talk about habits. I want to talk about habits. We spend a lot of time and a lot of money on education. Sometimes it means that we have to get certain skills and certain abilities in order to make a living, in order to provide for our own. And we, in the process, we search for information that makes us stand out in the job market. We want to know how can we look like we are really the person for the job. We teach our children, even when they whine and moan about schoolwork, so that they will be prepared to take care of themselves. All of our learning allows us to make rapid and accurate decisions, and we can communicate our decisions to others very clearly. What once took hours can be done in just minutes. Almost by habit. Now, habits are the rote response that we have instilled in ourselves. That's what I wanted to say. It's whether we have good habits or bad habits, depending on what we've been taught. It's simply what we have instilled in ourselves. Few of us need to think about how to walk. I think walking's a habit that most of us have worked out pretty well because it's ingrained in our memory. Yet in childhood, we also can pick up bad habits. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, get over here to it, there it is, Proverbs 22 and verse 6, the wise man says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, in other words, what he's saying here is, instill good, sound habits in your children. So when they get older, they need not think about it. They just do it by habit. And, of course, if you teach them the right way, they will do the right thing. Another way to look at it is we have to make a conscious decision to do right or wrong. That's what lies at the base of this. A conscious decision to do right or to do wrong. Now, good moral habits are instilled by repetitive application. Lamentations 3, and I know these are passages we don't often turn to, but in Lamentations 3 and verse 25, beginning there, it says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him and be full of reproach. A child needs to learn that they can shoulder responsibility. A child that is given no responsibility will never be able to understand why he has to do anything. I believe that children learn by habit, if you will, to do things to provide for themselves. Whenever I was a child, I mowed lawns. Now it'd kill me, but I mowed lawns and I made money. And that was it wasn't much, but it was to try to teach me to be responsible for myself and for the money that I made. As I grew older, I had other types of jobs, and I managed to get into some endeavors in repairing electronics and things like that. But nonetheless, I had a habit of doing work that would help me to provide for myself. But children, unfortunately, that are not given any responsibility, never learn that. And they don't understand why, now that they're an adult, they have to work. The very idea. You've always provided for me, so give me some more. And that's not good. That is not good. A child should bear the yoke in his youth. That's what the wise man of God says. Bear the yoke in his youth. Unfortunately, I personally have heard some parents who have said, well, I don't want little Johnny to feel forced into going to church, so I'm not going to make him. Well, consequently, Johnny develops a habit of missing the assemblies of the church. And what do you think Johnny does when he grows up? That's what he does. Another family proudly said that they kept their children home when they were little, so they didn't disrupt the assemblies. It's remarkable that not one of their children were members of the church. Youth is a time to instill good habits. We need to keep that in mind. Youth is a time to instill good habits. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, the writer says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. When children are young, they need to have a habit of remembering the Creator. And that means everything that goes along with it. We have a responsibility as parents to give them that habit, if you will, not only by example, but teach them to have the habit. And notice, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, and here's what happens, I have no pleasure in them. They have no desire whatsoever to give themselves to God. We have to understand that there are certain benefits to be derived from teaching them good habits. In Proverbs 3, verses 21 through 26, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way. Your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked one, or wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do you see that? Whenever our children have this habit of serving God, they will benefit from it. They will derive great benefit from it. If we're not careful, though, the wrong habits will be instilled in our children. In the days of the kings of Israel, a wicked woman decided to set herself up as a queen of Judah. That wasn't God's plan, by the way. To accomplish this, she killed all the male grandchildren, leaving no one left to inherit the throne when her son died. One grandson, though, was saved by the high priest, who took the young boy and raised him. And when he was 7 years old, Jehoiada set him up as a king. Notice in 2 Chronicles 24, verses 1 and 2, Joash was 7 years old when he became king and reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Now, Joash was a good king. Notice, Joash was a good king as long as Jehoiada was there to advise him. But it wasn't goodness that Joash developed as a habit. Instead, Joash developed the habit of listening to others. And this is not a good trait in a leader. When Jehoiada died, Joash began listening to those who were evil. In 2 Chronicles 24, 17 and 18, after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. Therefore they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served wooden images and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespass. Even though God sent prophets to Joash, he would not listen. He already had developed a habit. And what was it? The habit of following sin. In 2 Chronicles 24:19, yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not listen. Now, eventually, Joash has a son of Jehoiada, has the son of Jehoiada, Zechariah, stoned for speaking against him. Now, here a man is trying to turn him back to what's right, and he has him stoned. Look at here, 24th chapter of 2 Chronicles, verse 20. The Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, who stood above the people and said to them, "Thus says God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you." So they conspired against him, and at the command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court, the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but killed his son. And as he died, he said, "The Lord look on it and repay." So it happened in the spring of the year that the army of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the leaders of the people from among the people and sent all their spoil to the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, but the Lord delivered a very great army into their hands, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. We need to be careful to instill proper moral habits in our children. Not ones that are only on the surface. Now, by this I mean simply going through the motions. But we need to inspire in them a deep-seated desire to serve God. They must have a knowledge of God. They must have a desire to serve God. And they must have the propensity for worshiping God. But if we don't instill these habits within them, it will be evident. But along with youth, we find out that habits can be developed in later life too. And not always good habits. One habit that I can testify to, people who never drank coffee in their childhood and in their youth can't start the day without it now. I won't say who, but a habit was developed. A habit was developed. Habits come from repetition. Doing the same thing over and over and over again. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, and down through verse 27, notice what the wise man says. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left, and remove your foot from evil. Now, that right there is a good rule to follow for starting a good habit. If you avoid all these bad habits here, you're going to get on the right path. And it won't matter where you are in life, whether you're young, old, in between, whatever you are. These things can be established within us. But even bad habits can be broken with repeated good moral actions. Look at 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. I know it's familiar to you already. But 1 Peter 4, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but the will of God. We have spent enough of our life, our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. Now notice, he says, you used to do this. This was your habit. You were busy doing the will of the Gentiles. But that wasn't a good will. That was not good. He said, you walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelry, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you don't run with them to the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Now, you don't do those things. You have formed good habits, good moral habits, and they think something's wrong with you. Now, don't get me wrong. This isn't something that's easy to do. It's best if you form good habits when you're young and follow that as a matter of your life's pattern. But whenever you get older and you decide, I've got to change my bad habits, I've got to do something different than what I've done already in my life, it's not easy to do it. When you start to do it, it takes conscious effort on your part to really bear down on it, not to fall into the path of these bad habits. It's so easy to do. And many times, you'll find yourself wrestling with yourself. Because you've always done it this way, and now you say, oh, this isn't the way it ought to be done. It's wrong. But nonetheless, you can do it. You can do it. Bad habits that are left unchecked in our life can bring many sorrows. In Proverbs, notice what he's talking about now. He who sows iniquity, bad habits, will reap sorrow. And the rod of anger will fall. What happens when you continue down the road of bad habits? Well, you're sowing iniquity and you're going to reap what you sow. And you know, this sowing and reaping thing, it goes both ways. In Hosea 10, verses 12 through 13, Hosea said, sow for yourselves righteousness, but reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He comes and rains righteousness on you. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies, because you trusted in your own way, in the multitude of your mighty men. What was their problem? They'd been plowing wickedness and reaping iniquity. They had bad habits. Bad. But he said, you can change it. Sow for yourself righteousness. And what do we know about sowing and reaping? You're going to reap what you sow. If you sow righteousness, you're going to reap mercy. And break up the ground. It's time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. In Galatians 6, and 6 through 10, he says, let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Well, here we are with the sowing and reaping again. Now listen to how it's put here. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now, I want to go over that with you. Sowing to the flesh is doing whatever you want to do, as many times you want to do it, no matter what anybody says. That's the flesh. But here's what you're going to get. Corruption. That's what you're going to get for that. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will use the Spirit as your guide. You will heed the words of God. You will do His will. And you will reap everlasting life. That's what it's all about. What it's all about. Now listen to it here. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. In other words, we're going to have to keep on doing good. Keep on sowing to the Spirit instead of the flesh. Because in due time, we're going to reap if we don't lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. It's time to start sowing seeds of good morals so that they may mature into solid moral habits. Habits. That's what you want. I want to read something to you. I don't normally do this, but I pondered it, and the quotation was good. I checked it to be sure that it was accurate because it was too good to be true. But Portia Nelson, and she was an actress and a writer and everything under the sun, wrote something that is called The Autobiography in 5 Short Chapters. And I believe that you will see what bearing this has on habit. Now, bear with me. Chapter 1. I walk down the street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I'm lost. I'm hopeless. It isn't my fault. It takes me forever to find my way out. Chapter 2. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I am in the same place. But it's not my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is there. I still fall in because it's a habit. You see how that happens? It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Now, 5 short chapters, the shortest chapter of them all. I walk down another street. You see? We get in the habit of doing something and we just, oh, well, did it again. Well, did it again. But what's the answer? The answer isn't to get out of it alone. And the answer isn't to walk around it alone. The answer is go another way. Go a different way. I think that, I don't know much about this person, but I think there's a lot of wisdom in this. And there's a lot of insight into human nature. We can get in a rut and fall into bad habits time after time. Blame it on somebody else. Not my fault. But first of all, we got to admit that it's our fault. And second of all, we got to get on the right street. Now, notice from our reading. In 1 Peter, well, we'll get it right. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. If these things are yours and abound, they're not just yours, but they're yours in abundance. Did you get that? These things are yours and abound. What will be the result? You will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do we do with the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Think about that for a moment. We don't just sit back and think, well, we're okay. We're good people. We look here, we got God, we're doing all right. No. It's something that calls for bearing fruit. And that is teaching others. If you have these things in you and abound, you will be doing the work that God intended you to do and not be barren or unfruitful in it. Now, there's a perspective for you. Think about it. What about the person who lacks these things? Well, first of all, he says he's short-sighted. Well, what does that mean? He can only see just so far. That's all he sees. He only is focused on here and now. In fact, his short-sightedness is so bad, it even is unto blindness. Why? Because he's forgotten he was cleansed from his old sins. He forgot all about that. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. Now, you notice, yours and abound, be even more diligent. You get it? Be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Never stumble. Why? You'll develop good habits. Wholesome habits. Healthy habits. With diligence, and by the way, we talked about that. The idea of diligence means effort and work. We're going to have to put something out. We can make our calling certain by the continual practice of righteousness. What do you get with continual practice? You form habits. You form habits. And that's what we want to do. Now, brought it down to this point. What have you been doing with your life? What have you been doing with your life? Think about that. Are you giving in to the habit of sin? Maybe there's some of you that just, well, I've got this habit and that's just the way it is and I can't do anything about it. Yeah, there is something you can do about it. If it's a bad habit, you need to get rid of it. You need to break it. You need to not just give in to it, say, well, I'm going to just have to hope God will be merciful to me. Let me tell you something. You are stretching His mercy if you do that. And it leads to complacency on your part. What about you? What are you doing with your life? What bad habit, are you working on breaking? I dare say every one of us has got some bad habit. I'm not going to take a poll, you know. But I dare say all of us have some bad habit. It may be one thing or another that we get caught up in. We forget and we do it. But are we working on it? Are we working on it? If we would be pleasing to God, certainly we will. Now, what good habits are we working on? Establish. You know, I can think of a whole bunch of them that need work. But that's just me. That's just me. How about you? What good habits are you working on establishing? Think about the things we've talked about this afternoon with regard to adding to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge, temperance, kindness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love. Almost got that all out, didn't I? Whew. But anyway, and I've had surgery, but anyway, I always say that when I forget anything. But we can work on that. We can work on making that a good habit. Today is an opportunity for those who have never done so to start the best habit of all. You know what that habit is? Walking the path of a Christian. If you aren't a Christian, You need to get busy and have good habits in your life. All that is necessary is that you confess Jesus as the Christ. Do so from a penitent heart and be buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins. And then you have a good habit. And that good habit is living a righteous life before God.